Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan, long time no see.
Hey.
You survived Sundance.
I didn't get as much of it as I would have liked, but yeah.
But you did see some, which is nice. Which we will get to here in a bit. But first, let's talk about this. It's February 1st today as we speak, and that means that the New Year movie viewing is fully on at this point.
Yeah.
February, traditionally a dumping ground of sorts for studios. Rarely does a film come out in February and go on to greatness, although there are rarities where that happens. But speaking of that, movie opens tonight / tomorrow from director Matthew Vaughn of Kingsman and Kick-Ass and what was his Layer Cake. Oh, X-Men First Class. I forgot Layer Cake when I was looking. I was like, oh my God, he did Layer Cake. Argyle. Bryce Dallas Howard in front of the camera, not behind it, for Star Wars, which, you know, we haven't seen her since that last Jurassic World movie, I think. Sam Rockwell, Henry Cavill, Samuel L. Jackson, Bryan Cranston. Who's always fun to see. Let's talk about a couple things real quick. This that I have to get off my chest about this. The trailer for this came out, and it's the dance scene with Henry Cavill and Dua Lipa. And people on social media were like, "What? This looks terrible. What is Henry Cavill doing?" And I immediately came to his defense, and I said, "Look, he's been mired in the Zack Snyderverse. This dark, gloomy place." I said, so forgive him if he wants to do a movie where he can just kind of have some fun. And that's what the trailer looked like he was doing. He was just having some fun. I said, so cut him some slack. Let's see what the movie does. So there, that's my disclaimer coming in.
Who wouldn't want to be Henry Cavill in that movie?
In that scenario? I don't know. Probably three people. So I went into this movie defending it. Like I said, it's got Sam Rockwell in it, and you're not really sure how it's going to play out from the trailers, which is kind of nice. But you do know that there's a cat.
Yeah, I kind of felt like the trailers were maybe a little misleading, but we can get into that.
Oh, well, that's fair. Okay, well, we will get into that. So what this film is about is Bryce Dallas Howard is a spy novelist named Ellie Conway, who has just released the fourth in a very popular series of novels about Agent Argyle. And she's trying to write the fifth book, but she's gotten to the end and she's getting some writer's block. She decides to go visit her mom, who has helped her in the past kind of brainstorm and work stuff out. And she gets on the train, where she meets a guy named Aiden, played by Sam Rockwell. And then her life turns upside down as she finds herself embroiled in a battle between warring spy factions who believe she can. Her writing is predictive because everything she has written thus far has happened to them. And it's eerily prescient. So he's trying to save her. That's the story going in. Now, there is a twist. There's a couple of things going on. We don't want to spoil it, even though I'm sure some idiots out there already have, because they're killjoys and don't know how to enjoy themselves. But we're not going to do that. So, yes. So Sam Rockwell is an agent who is helping her and leads her through a series of fish out of water spy adventures until we get to the final portion of the program. Who doesn't love to watch Sam Rockwell just chew it up?
You know, I don't mind. You,
yeah, no, very few people do, I think. And he's actually, it's not over the top.
No, well, the first thing is, but there's a reason for that.
That's
the first little bit is, but generally speaking, no. And we get to see, okay, my opinions on this film are going to sound really schizophrenic, but just go with it.
In terms of this film, that's okay.
Yeah. Anyway, it's nice to have Sam Rockwell in a performance where he's doing a lot of stuff. It's not just one thing. I mean, we really get to see him act in this.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not highbrow serious acting, which we know he can do as well, but he gets to do, you know, a lot of, the character has more levels and layers and whatnot than you would typically think and what you would think in the very beginning.
Right. His character actually wouldn't be out of bounds in the Mission Impossible franchise. I don't think it's any more outlandish than any of those characters are.
Probably true. Yeah. No, I mean, there's definitely sections of this film that are traditional spy thriller.
Yes.
Which is kind of strange to me. And it might just be me, but, you know, all the publicity and everything I've seen for the film is basically taken from the first 15 minutes.
Yes.
Because the first 15 minutes of this film is radically, I don't know, different, or it's different.
It's different, yeah.
And I don't think that, I mean, it was funny because I was going to the pictures that they provided, and it's all, like, who would you think is starring in this film based on the trailers? And believe it or not, it's not Mr. Cavill.
No.
He is at best a supporting character.
Yes.
At best. And so I kind of felt like there was a switcheroo thing going here, to a certain extent. And there's a part of me that wonders if I would have just like to see that first, the movie that they start with, and see where that went. I don't know.
Well,
I have a lot of mixed feelings about this movie.
Yeah. So to your point about wanting to see that movie, there's a very meta credit scene.
Yeah.
Which I found that humorous, because that might have given you, well, you wouldn't have gotten this first movie, but I just thought it was very cool, and it also kind of spoke a little bit about Hollywood. This is not Henry Cavill's movie. This is Bryce Dallas Howard's movie. And let's be clear. She does not do all her own stunts. However, what she does do in this, I think she handles well.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, generally speaking, the performances in this are exactly what they needed to be.
Yeah.
What they were asked to do.
Yeah. I liked seeing her in front of the camera. She's not as serious as, say, she was in Jurassic World, tried to be very, very grounded. And of course you can't, because it's dinosaurs. So she's not that, but it's not silly. I mean, consistently silly. There's some silly moments. A couple of times. Sam Rockwell needs to do more action, I think.
I don't see why not.
I don't know. I don't recall what he's done that had this much action in it before. But it plays really well. I mean, yeah, stick him in a Mission Impossible 8, you know, or whatever. I'd be okay with that. He handles that pretty well. Bryan Cranston plays a villain. Again, I don't want to give too much away. I don't want to steer too much. But Cranston plays a villain, and I think at this point he's going to be okay doing that for the rest of his career, because he just gets to be angry all the time, and he's really good at it.
good at it, but again, typecasting, is it too easy?
Yeah.
I mean, he's you know, the fear is that, yeah, he'll just take these roles because he can do them without.
It's almost a phone in.
Yeah. It's not quite, but it's, you know, I mean, it's just like, okay, what's the name of this person? You know, I know what the characteristics are. What's my name?
Yeah. Well, I think it's funny because there's one section of the movie where he channels Malcolm in the Middle for a very brief moment. He's back doing Malcolm in the Middle, which I thought was great. Dua Lipa, not as big a part of this film as, again, as advertising might lead you to believe.
Yeah, that's it's kind of I mean, she does have. It's more than a cameo.
Yeah. Well, that whole opening sequence.
I mean, based on, if you look at the poster, most of the people on that poster aren't in the film for very long.
No.
I mean, Samuel Jackson pops up for a little bit later on.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I was just kind of surprised. And maybe not surprised as well, in that, you know, obviously they got some interesting cast people, but they're doing kind of what they do with those indie budget films where they can only hire the actor for 15 days or 10 days or 5 days or a day.
The name to put on the film. Character.
You know, basically what Bruce Willis was doing for the last, you know, 5 years of his career.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he gets the name on the cover. He's on the cover and he's in the movie for 5 minutes. And that's kind of what happened here, I think. And I don't know that that's necessarily a good or a bad thing. I just think it's weird.
Yeah. Well,
because it's almost as if they want to sell you a movie that it isn't.
But in this movie, it kind of makes sense. Or for this movie, it kind of makes sense for what they're doing in this film.
And again, because they don't think anyone would show up to the film that they've actually made.
They should have shown up. People would show up for Sam Rockwell if they'd have shown a little bit more of his stuff. But yeah, but again, it is a weird film. And again, it's February, first week of February. Yeah. So I don't know how, again, and we can't talk too much about it. I like where it's going, although I was firm in my conviction at about the 1 hour point, which is less than halfway, because this movie is 2 hours and 19 minutes. It is rated PG-13, so it's fairly family friendly.
And I think that's problematic as well, but we can get that in a minute.
Yeah, because we're going to talk about Matthew Vaughn in a second. But it is in that way. It's a little more accessible, but it's 2:19. I think there's a cut here that it would be a very, very brisk 2 hours. And I think it's a slightly tighter film, but I won't say that it is over long at 2 hours and 19 minutes.
It doesn't feel, but no, I think you could have cut this a little tighter. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree, but there's no obvious, oh, well, this could just go.
See? Yeah, no, you would just have to do some shortening and just some cleanup, really. And you could get this down to a very, very trim and svelte 2 hours and it would still be okay. But like I said, it's not over long. And that's saying something, because there are a lot of movies now that are just over long because theaters will show them if they're 220, 225, 230, 3 hours. Scorsese. Hey everyone, welcome back to season 9 of the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. If you like what you're seeing and hearing, please feel free to like us, share us, follow us wherever you're listening to us, actually. If you're on YouTube, click subscribe, that would be great. Go to the website at vsmoviepodcast.com, and that will give you links to all of our socials. It'll give you write-ups of stuff that's not audio, but you'll get pretty much everything there. So if you like what you're seeing and hearing, make sure you share it with everyone else. Now let's get back to the show.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So yeah, it's PG-13, but it's from Matthew Vaughn, who brought us such R-rated wonders as The Kingsman, Kick-Ass, Layer Cake. He is not one to shy away from an R.
I think Stardust was, I think, PG-13. But that feels like that felt like an anomaly.
In his filmography, that's totally an anomaly. Even X-Men is almost.
There's a gritty bit to it.
There is, but it's PG-13. But it's very strange.
Is that the one where Wolverine gets his one comment in? I think he does. I think Wolverine drops the
First Class is, yeah, I think that's the one. So, but yeah, even the King's Man, the last one was rated R. So all of the Kingsman stuff is R. So yeah, so this isn't an outlier thematically, but it is in terms of rating for him. So let's talk about this for a second. You know that this is a Matthew Vaughn movie because it feels like a Matthew Vaughn movie. In terms of energy, I think this is really closer to the first Kingsman than either of those sequels. This feels more like what he was doing with that movie, than either of the sequels for that one. It's not Kick-Ass. It is not Layer Cake. In his filmography, this is closer to the first Kingsman.
Yeah. And the PG-13 has an impact on that as well. Although there are aspects of the Kingsman was a rather vulgar film. And yeah. I don't just mean, it wasn't just because they were using lots of four-letter words. It was, in many ways, you know, very sexually vulgar and whatnot. Some of the things it said and whatnot, and had exploding heads and things. But,
right.
There's, I actually don't miss some of that vulgarity. But what happens is you'll have a scene and you feel like, oh, that's where they hit the ceiling.
Yeah.
They couldn't go through.
They
wanted to do this with that scene, but there's no way if they do that with that scene that they're going to get a PG-13.
Right. And there's a couple spots in there, but the last big fight sequence with the smoke there's a cut of that somewhere.
Well, and I think maybe, yeah. Well, and that may be a place that I would have tightened things up a bit, and even there's a skating scene.
Which
that is pretty good.
That's actually a really, I mean, and I saw that one coming too, which I was really proud of. But yeah, that's a fun scene. That's like the church shootout in the first Kingsman.
Yeah. Without the blood.
And that's really, if you're looking for a visual difference between Kingsman and this film, it's going to be that there's not a lot of blood here.
I don't know if there is much of that
on clothes. On clothes when they're up close and being tended to, which is happens in like two spots.
But yeah, I do think the skate scene is the one where you go, I bet you this was not what he wanted to do, or I bet that there was. I mean, it's still a fairly fun scene, But there's just certain things where you're like, I don't know that this is the movie that he would want to make, and I don't know that movie that I would want him to make, because it just it feels like more of the same for one thing.
A little bit.
You know, when Matthew Vaughn, when he came up, Kick-Ass was pretty revolutionary.
Yeah.
It shook up the world a little bit. The X-Men First Class was a solid. The first Kingsman film was like unlike anything.
Yep.
To a certain degree, it starts off with a scene and just that it would jaw dropping, and it gets crazier from there. And this just feels like that there's a you know, that A, he's stuck in that world.
Right.
He's stuck in the Kingsman world. He can't. He got lost in the streets of London, and he can't find his way out. and so there's a lot of that in this. And I guess that's okay if that's what he is.
Yeah.
But I think I definitely thought he was going to be something more than what he's become. I thought that he was talented enough that he was going to be more of a do a lot of diverse stuff. Rather than the same thing over and over again. And so there's a part of me that's really disappointed that, you know, we're getting variations of the same movie.
Yeah.
And there's at least two more variations of that movie that are supposed to be coming out.
I was going to say on his IMDb page, he has three upcoming directorial projects, two of which are Kingsman. One is a sequel to Kingsman. One is looks like a sequel to The Kingsman, which is the third film. And then one called Courage, which has no plot details. So I don't know what that one is, but yeah, there's at least two more Kingsmen on the plate, which yeah, if he wants to do something else, he needs to do that sooner rather than later, or his opportunities might start to thin unless he goes smaller, independent, ish kind of, you know, films.
You know, even certain film directors that get labeled with a certain style, a lot of them, if you actually look at what they've done, they break away from that style. They may come back to it.
Well, I was going to say, you know, Guy Ritchie is one. You always know you're in a Guy Ritchie movie, yeah. But he does which spread it around.
Yeah. And they don't all feel the same.
No.
It's his direction and whatnot is very obvious in the way he cuts films and things. But, you know, but his films are at least trying to be about a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And I just think that that's where I saw this film and I watched it, and it's not particularly bad. It's not particularly good. And I wanted him to be the director that he hasn't become, I guess. And that's frustrating from my standpoint. Clearly, he has his own life. He can make his own decisions. But as somebody who really kind of thought that he was going to do some crazy, neat stuff, maybe even along the lines of Christopher Nolan, see that really hasn't progressed at all is...
Yeah.
Disheartening. I don't know.
Do you realize that he did Layer Cake in 2004? So it's been 20 years.
Yeah.
We should look at that movie. Do a 20 year comparison.
Go back and look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. We should do that. I think this is a fun movie. And it's made more so by the fact that it's not R rated, so it can be funner across a wider breadth of audience. And I don't know if maybe that was a universal dictate or not.
Yeah, it's strange because, you know, this is a universal Apple TV release.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I don't think Apple would have dictated that it was PG-13, but maybe they did. I think someone must have.
Or this film is easily R-rated.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. I mean, I guess it is possible that he wanted to experiment and not make an R-rated film. But if you're going to make this film, you know, if it needs to be R-rated, it needs to be R-rated. And I think there's moments in this film that it would have been more, I don't know, it would have been, I don't know if better is the right word, but it would be more true to the vision, I think.
Yeah.
Like, it just felt like it wasn't exactly what it was intended to be. And that's you know, that's always frustrating.
Well, at least he didn't come out and say, you know, though, I have a completely separate movie that I'll be releasing at some point.
Oh.
That's completely different. So at least he didn't do that. This is the movie, you know, this is the movie he made. This is the movie we got. And like I said, there's got to be an R-rated cut out there.
Yeah,
there has to be an R-rated cut.
You know, and the thing is it's like, you know, when they did the Deadpool film in PG-13, there was sort of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge kind of campy, funny thing to that.
Yeah.
In the sense of, we can make this movie PG-13, but I don't think you'll find anyone who will tell you that that's the better movie.
No.
Because it was never intended to be that movie.
Yep.
And this just doesn't feel like it was intended, you know, the casting, it just doesn't feel like this is the film that, you know, they set out to make. It feels like a watered down kind of version.
Yeah. Like someone trying to do Matthew Vaughn.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. I mean, that just, yeah. I mean, I'll admit, you know, I'm disappointed that he hasn't done other things, and maybe this Courage movie that he does will completely change my mind, and
perhaps,
or maybe he'll do the Guy Ritchie, the Covenant or whatever, and I'll go, okay, well, go back to doing that other
shit. Maybe, who knows? Well, we'll
maybe, you know what,
we will find that out soon. So, but like I said, it's, for me, it's still an easy to recommend, because it's not going to put anybody off, I don't think. There is a real cat in here. However, 90% of the film is fake cat.
Yeah.
CGI cat. So don't worry about all of the shenanigans that Alfie the cat gets into. If he's in a shenanigan, it's probably a CGI cat. So that's it. We do have movies the next couple weeks, which is nice. We're going to talk about Sundance here, in another episode. But yeah, so we're starting the year. We started with Mean Girls in January, and then that was it. That was really all we had. Well, we had Night Swim.
Yeah.
Like right at the beginning of the new year, which we kind of really split on. Mean Girls.
I didn't see Mean Girls, though.
Oh, see, yeah. Mean Girls 2024 is less than Mean Girls 2004, which is far less than Heather's. So there you are. But now we're in, like I said, we're into February. So you're going to start seeing movies. So we've got a couple of next couple of weeks and we'll see what's going on with those. But, yeah, it'll be interesting now to see that the year is actually starting again. We're past the holidays. We got the Oscars next month, but yeah, they're going to start giving us films and we'll see if they're going to be any good. Thanks for coming. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks for liking. Thanks for sharing. Doing all that good stuff on social media out there. Ryan and I will be back soon with more stuff to talk about. But until we do, again, like us, follow us, share us, all over social media, you know how that works. And until we talk to you again, I'm Mark. That's Ryan. Bye, Ryan. And we will talk to y'all later.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.